You're listening to KBOO Portland, and the time is 5:59. And next is Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary Postlewaite. That's right, it's the first Wednesday of the month, which also means that at 7 p.m. we'll be keeping it real. Nick Deasy is flying solo tonight. We'll be missing Arone, but we should have some guests around, so stick around. Again, this is KBOO Portland. The time is almost 6 o'clock, and next is Kitchen Table Conversations.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Sunfest, August 4th through 6th at Mountaindale Sun Resort, one of the first nudist clubs in Oregon. Sunfest 2017 has a Roaring Twenties theme featuring camping, jazz, dancing, nude Olympics, and more. Again, that's Sunfest, the weekend of August 4th through the 6th at Mountaindale Sun Resort, 27100 Northwest Dairy Creek Road in North Plains, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month we'll screen the film Keep the Hives Alive on Thursday, August 10th at 7 p.m. Bees and other pollinators are declining at an alarming rate. An overwhelming number of scientific studies link these population declines to pesticide use. Keep the Hives Alive is a documentary film that shows the use of toxic pesticides are having far-reaching impacts on a wide range of environments, including beehives. Again, that's a film screening at the documentary Keep the Hives Alive, Thursday, August 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at the kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You know, a lot of stuff's been heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so
look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier to say it, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach its age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord God, he really did it.
Hello, hello. It's that time again. This is Mary Postlewaite with Kitchen Table Conversations. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. So last month, we talked a little bit about depression and suicide. More so, you know, what to do if you see the signs of depression, or you know, hear of somebody wanting to commit suicide, or things like that. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, but not right at this second. Right now I want to talk about a couple other things that I have on here. So I'm listening to the news. You know, I haven't really been watching the news too much lately, but I happened to turn it on the other day, and I see a police officer who had been in trouble for having intercourse with his girlfriend in his car, in his police car. Now, that's wrong, okay? He shouldn't have done that. The consequence for his actions was he lost his badge for life. So he can no longer work in any type of police field. I'm not sure if it's at all anything that has to do with police, but he can never be a cop again, or anything like a detective or anything like that. And it, you know, again, what he did was wrong, but it amazes me that I see this on our TV, because I'm looking at this man and I'm like, no, he shouldn't have did that. No, it was very, very bad judgment, poor judgment on his part. However, you know, he loses his privileges of being a police officer for life, yet all the media on the police nowadays about shooting people, young people, young black people, you know, just people in general, and they're getting off. You know, they're having no consequence for their actions, and I'm not understanding that. You know, this is something that's, it really has bothered me since I've seen this on TV. It's just amazing to me that, you know, this man lost his whole career, yet, you know, there's police, and you know, I'm sorry, but this is my own opinion, and if somebody, you know, may not like it, that's okay, you don't have to, but I will use the word killing, or even more so murdering our young people for things that could be prevented. You know, why is it that the police shoot to kill? Why can't you shoot them in the leg, or, you know, shoot the arm that has the gun or something along those lines, as opposed to killing him? Yet you're quick to want to ruin a man's life for having sex in his cop car. Bad decision again, but it wasn't like, you know, he actually murdered his girlfriend in his cop car. I mean, no, it wasn't right, but come on now, we gotta weigh those. You know, let's keep it real. You know, people dying and having intercourse in a cop car. For real, I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. It's an unbalanced to me. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If any of you out there are listening and, you know, wanna weigh in on anything I have to talk about today, most definitely, I am willing to hear what you have to say. Delphine, throw out the number for us.
Yeah, sure. The number to call is 503-231-8187.
231-8187. 8187. I had to write that down. I'm always forgetting that. So yeah, if you want to weigh in on any of these topics, the fifth caller to call in tonight, Delphine, will get a dinner for two.
Okay.
I can come to you, or you can come to me, whatever works better for you. And I will prepare dinner for you and your friend or a beloved one or whoever it is. So I just wanted to throw that out there. The police.
I'll keep count very closely.
Absolutely. So the whole police and thing is crazy to me. But let me move on from that now. So I'm also watching, and you know, I'm not a political person. I don't talk politics with people simply because I'm not well versed in it. I don't really know a lot about politics, but what I do know is what I see and what I hear. And, you know, there's been a lot of trash talking about Trump, including myself. You know, I've thrown out a couple things out there that, you know, probably shouldn't have said, but I did. However, you know, with whoever says what, when I look, if I look on social media, or even if I'm watching the news or whatever, and I'm following his feedback to whoever's speaking on him, he's not any better than the people who are talking bad about him. You are doing the same thing that they're doing. But here's the difference. You, Mr. Trump, are the president of the United States, and you're held to a different standard than the rest of everybody else. I don't think it's fair. It's not okay for, you know, no, it's not okay for anybody to talk bad about anybody. But as the president of the United States, you should hold yourself on a pedestal and shouldn't lower yourself to, you know, name call or talk about other people or, you know, things along those lines. And that's just my opinion, but I just don't, you know, I don't see where respect is. You know, I can't respect somebody who calls himself our president if what you're going to do is lower yourself and start calling people names, start talking about people, you know, start lying to people, which that's happened. And let's just keep this real. It has. So, you know, I just don't see where that could go on for too much longer. I'm hoping that the people out there will see that. You know, the corruption. I mean, and there's already a lot of corruption, but I'm hoping that people will see the difference of how he was when they were rooting for him, and looking at how he is now, and now that he's in presidency, and now that he's making, you know, the changes that he's calling himself making. I hope they see the in my opinion, the deviousness in it, you know, because I'm starting to see things that, you know, just, it's like a game. It's like kind of like he's playing a game with America, you know, and it's, this isn't a game of tennis, you know, and this isn't a back and forth thing. This is something, and this is our lives, and this is our world, and we have to fight and to keep it. And if that means opening our mouths and saying something about what we see, it may be the smallest thing, but, you know, and it may, people might not like what I have to say, and that's okay. You don't have to. But I personally don't feel like it should continue to go on. And all I really have to say about it is shame on you, Donald Trump. Shame on you for being the way that you are. So, continuing on the line of Donald Trump, transgender in the military. He says that it would be disruptive and it would be costly, basically, for lack of a better word, for transgender people to be in the military. Well, imagine that. You know what I mean? Imagine that. So, from what I understand, you know, people go on medical leave, military personnel can go on a medical leave for X amount of time and, you know, get healed or whatever. And it costs way more than if somebody was to go in and, you know, a transgender person going through the change of whatever they go through, because I don't know what that is, so I can't really speak on that. However, you know, why is it that you can dictate that? They've been fighting for our country. And who are you to tell anybody that it is okay or not okay? You know, nobody said anything about anybody's sexual orientation when they enlisted into the Marines or into the Navy or into the Army or into any branch of the military. That's completely wrong. I am so upset about that. That is absolutely ridiculous. And let me say it again, absolutely ridiculous. Transgender people have been fighting for this country just like anybody else. And how dare anybody say that they're any different than anybody else? They have the same values and the same morals as the rest of us, or they wouldn't be fighting to keep you alive, Mr. Trump, because that's what they do. So get it right. That was my rant for the day.
You're upset on that one.
That makes me mad.
No,
I am
for
really,
sure.
I am. I'm really upset about that. We have come too far in life. It is the year 2017, people. Really? Really? You're going to kick transgender people out of the military? Okay, so, I wonder how many people are really going to leave. Let's see what kind of defense we have after, you know, because, you know, after transgender people, it continues on after that. So it's not just going to, it's not just transgender people. It will be other people with other, you know, various orientations and religions and things like that. So, I mean, here in a minute, we're not going to have anybody to defend us, people. Because why? Because we want Donald Trump in presidency. That's why. That's how I feel. He makes me so mad. I just can't. It irritates me. It really, really does. I'm not transgender, but I feel for somebody who is. That is just so ridiculous. Ridiculous to me. Can't believe it. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, like I said before, y'all voted for him. That's your president. So, hey. Anyway, a little bit different subject. And I want to say this is more positive for me. And it has to do with the unfortunate killings on the TriMet Max, a couple months ago. That TriMet is now, they're in the midst of trying to up the time for people to be kicked off of, you know, TriMet. That it's 6 months right now. If somebody's acts weird or, you know, is a fool or does something stupid or violent on Max or buses, they can be kicked off for 6 months. They're trying to up that for a year. Here's what I say. People get drunk, they talk, they do stupid things, but they don't hurt anybody. Yeah, maybe they need to be, you know, reprimanded for maybe talking crap to somebody while they're drunk. However, they don't need to be kicked off the bus for life or anything like that. You murder somebody, you beat up on somebody, you try to stab somebody, you try to burn somebody, you cut somebody's hair, you do anything that's been going on, yes, you need to be excluded for life because you don't have any business around people who aren't like that. Those are the people that we don't want around, in my opinion. So, you know, I think that's a great idea, but I think they need to throw in the ban for life for people who are violent. You know, people have disagreements all the time, but it doesn't get violent. So once it turns to physical violence and threatening, you know, people's lives or whatever, then yeah, I think it should be done for life. You're done, period. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of neat when I seen that, that they're thinking about that. That's a pretty good idea to me up in that time. So let's talk a little bit about the eclipse. So, Delphine, me and you were you around the first or last eclipse?
I believe so. What year was that?
It was 1990. I was 6. So I was born in 73. It was 1979.
Okay, then no.
No? Oh, you made me feel old. So I am one of the lucky few that has the great opportunity to have been around now for two.
Like a solar eclipse.
Two solar eclipses, right. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen a lunar eclipse, I think.
Yes. I remember when I was younger, I remember my dad coming into the room telling me not to look at the sun. And of course, you know, I looked at the sun. But I learned something interesting the other day, that when the solar eclipse when it's starting, you know, and the path is coming together, that's not when it blinds you. It can blind you or hurt your eye once it's all lined up and that's the solar flares around the black circle that you will see. That's what can burn your eyes. I didn't know that. I had no clue about that. So I heard that on a doctor show, actually, Dr. Oz or something. I don't remember which one. I listened to a lot of them. But I thought that was interesting. So I do want to say that if you guys want to go out there and you want to watch the eclipse, you know, even though it's only for a couple minutes, it is kind of a spectacular thing to see. Please make sure that you protect yourself and, you know, they have special glasses you can wear or just, you know, look through a different lens of some sort. If you watch it on TV, it won't hurt you. You know, things along those lines. Just protect yourself and make sure that you stay safe when the eclipse comes. I'm kind of excited. I probably won't get to see the whole thing, but it's the morning after my birthday, so I'm like, hey, that's my doggie's birthday. Oh, maybe he's gonna be 4. So I'm kind of excited to see it. Being as though it'll be a day after my birthday, I'm gonna wake up early and see if I can, you know.
Do you know what time it's happening?
At 9, don't quote me on this, but I want to say 9:32, okay. or 9:36. Okay. I'm not exactly sure about the time, but I know it's 9 something in the morning. So it's in the morning, and it is in the 9 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere right around in there.
Cool. Why are you excited about it?
It's just one of those things that don't come around very often, kind of right. Like Haley's Comet, you know, or things like that. It doesn't come around very often. And just to know that in my lifetime, I've been able to, which not everybody can say that they've been able to see two total solar eclipses. And it's just kind of neat to be able to say that. You know, I've had a lot of firsts happen through my life. The first black president, that's debatable to some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two solar eclipses. I don't even know. There's so many things that have gone on since I've been around Haley, or I've seen Haley's Comet,
mm-hmm.
or been alive during that. I didn't see it, but I've been alive during that. In fact, when I was born, Nixon was president. So the president impeachment, I've seen that happen around for that too.
So you have hope.
Man, it happens. It can happen, people. It can happen. So yeah, I have. I'm going to have to make a list of those things. It's neat to me, the things that have gone on. I saw the year 2000. You know, when I was a kid, we thought it was going to be like space age.
I know.
Me and my brother used to ask, well, how old are you going to be? Oh, well, there's going to be like flying cars and, you know, people are going to be able to, live on the moon, which, I mean, it's happened, but it's nothing like I thought it was going to be.
No.
I'm not floating around in zero gravity or whatever to get to the store or things like that. But, you know, I have seen a lot of firsts. I've seen the first computer. Oh, God, that makes me feel very, very old. I remember the first computer. That was great. When there was no computers, no cell phones, no pagers, no two-ways, none of that. What do we do for fun? A whole lot. Nowadays, what do they do for fun?
They look down.
If you can hear me. I'm tapping on my thing. That's me tapping on a tablet or a phone. So, yeah. But, you know, I'm trying to get that technology thing at least one day a week. Put it down in my house. It's very hard with my son, but I'm trying to do that. So
what does he do on those days when there's no technology?
He's mad. He gets an attitude. He doesn't like it. I mean, I can't really blame him. He's never known anything different,
right?
You know, this is a whole brand new concept for him, and he's 15. But you know, in time it'll be okay. He'll get used to it in time. I'm starting to read more. You know, I love to read, so I'm starting to read more. I'm hoping that he'll pick up on that. You know, so we'll see. Marshaley is read more. Oh, and by the way, Marshaley told me to tell the audience hello. She misses everybody. She wants to try to come on the show because technically in the beginning she was supposed to be here too, but mm-hmm. Now she's working, so she can't. So we're going to try to get that working too. So the eclipse, August 21st. I'm excited. I was going to talk about something else, but I think I'm going to throw that away because I want to go to break real quick. And during the break, it'll be Aretha Franklin, Respect. So here we go. I'll see you in a minute. Aretha Franklin, Respects. This is Mary Postlewaite with Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO 90.7 FM. So we have a caller on the line. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight? Well, thank you for calling. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, so I just had a thought. I was listening to you. I'm you know, driving on the way home. Handless headset, and I heard you talk about the Trump. I believe you referred to it as a rant on the transgender ban.
Yes.
And so, I thought I would just, I actually learned some new things about it, and I thought maybe, you know, this would be interesting for your show, or, you know, maybe you could riff on it a little bit. But one of the things I found out recently was what's entailed in transitions. So I didn't know this until recently, but there's diabetics aren't allowed in active duty because of the, they can't guarantee diabetic medicine if they're in the field. And apparently with transgender, so if you're taking hormones and you're going the full way, you know what I mean, full male to female, they need a constant dose of the testosterone or estrogen. It's not a one-time shot. So in terms of active service, that would prevent them anyway. And then within the realm of being stationed, part of the concern is the suicide rate within the transgender community, which I believe is 40%. And I understand that there's evidence showing if one member of a unit dies or commits suicide, the likelihood of others committing suicide increases. I hesitate to use the word significantly, but I imagine due to the report, it was significant. So I just thought those were some interesting things I learned recently, and I was curious about if that, you know, affects how you feel or not.
Actually, it kind of does a little bit. That it makes sense to me, the whole fact of the medications and not being able to get it when they're on, you know, out in the field. I completely get that. You know, I'm glad that you called in and said that, because it does give me a different view about it. However, I still feel like they shouldn't be taken completely out.
Also, this is Delphine. I also wanted to add, thank you for adding, you know, a little bit more complexity to the conversation. I've also heard that, you know, there's other things that are that the military pays for, like erectile dysfunction, for example.
Right.
So here is when, and that costs actually, the cost of that is actually triple, you know, the amount that actually goes right now currently into paying for transitions, you know. So, yeah, I think, like, it's important to take into account, you know, like the medical complexities that come with, you know, transition possibly. But there's also a lot of other things that we have supported as a society, you know, and I feel like that could be one of the things that we just support without, you know, really, you know, worry too much about the other implications based on the fact that we've done that for other issues, you know, like erectile dysfunction, for example.
Right. I get
that's
it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, to the point of, I've heard of the, you know, they pay for Viagra. If my understanding is correct, isn't that due to post-traumatic stress disorder and helping servicemen who can't perform? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, you know, well, I'm not trying to be dismissive, but I do think that has medical validity in helping symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder of active servicemen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that, but let's play the devil's advocate. If I was a person who was transgender and I'm in the military and I'm, you know, doing whatever we do when we're in the military, and you're going to kick me out of now the military because it costs too much for me to be transgender, or it's a distraction was another term that was used. It's a distraction in the military. I feel like there's many more distractions other than, you know, worrying about whether or not somebody's gender is male or female. You know, the medical part of it, I get it. That makes a lot of sense to me. Actually, I never even thought about that, but I do feel like there are things that, you know, many things in the world cause PTSD. I have PTSD. I've never been in the military. You know, and suicide rate for military people, veterans, is high in general, whether it's transgender veterans or military members of any kind or not. the suicide rate is high because of what they have gone through and the things that they've had to do and see in their career of being in the military. So, you know, PTSD for me, I feel like, you know, for something that's, because you can't perform in bed, to me, is not as important as if somebody, you know, what does everybody think is going to happen when you take transgender people out of the military? High suicide rate or not, do you think it's going to go down? No, now they're going to be like, well, we're not accepted, you know, we're looked down upon, or whatever it may be. And then the suicide rate, not saying it will, but I could see where it would go up because now they don't feel accepted anymore, you know. And that's mainly my main concern is, you know, I don't want that. Being somebody who's been suicidal before, I don't want people to think that way because solely for the fact that they're transgender. No other reason. That's the only reason. And that bothers me. Medically, I get it. But, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a hard topic to really break down, you know.
Well, for sure, there's a lot there. And part of the reason why I called in is because I do appreciate the fact, you know, like you were saying, morals and, you know, like, I don't think at question is the patriotism or the bravery of the men, you know, men and women who are transgender, you know, in the military. I think that the main thrust was the more medical, biological side, in addition to, to the point of suicidality, to my recollection, I believe it's 40%. Last time I checked for suicidality in the transgender community, and that's pretty high, and that's post-operative in addition to, you know, pre-operative. So it's very high in the community, and I think that is the main thrust or concern. But I agree with you. I don't think anyone should question their patriotism or, you know, service and sacrifice. Like, one thing, I actually don't know, maybe you know this, but do you know if people who are currently transgender, like identified as transgender and removed from the military, lose pensions or anything? I haven't heard anything on that.
I don't know. I do, however, there was an interview with a transgender woman who was given a ultimatum, basically. She was told that she could either get a dishonorable discharge and go, or some kind of sanction. I can't remember exactly what the other thing was. When you brought that up, it brought it to my head. But
Is that since the ban?
Yes. So I don't know exactly what, you know, how they're going to do that. You know, if they don't and they start doing things like, you know, not giving pensions and not giving what any active military or veteran would get, then that's going to be a whole nother subject.
Yeah, that would be very bad.
You're going to hear a whole nother rant.
Yeah, exactly. That would be worthy of a rant. Yeah, that would be very bad.
I'm going to have to check into that.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look into that. Definitely. In fact, let me write that down in my book. I have a little book that I write everything down that so I can remember pensions for.
Excellent.
So, okay. Wonderful. Well, I'm glad that you called, Mark, and thank you very much for your opinion. You did open my eyes to seeing it in a different view. So.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Okay. So, yeah. He did. I never really even thought about that. I was so mad. You're gonna kick him out. What? That's how I felt. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like this is also what I really like about your show, Mary, the Kitchen Table Conversations. Like, we're able to disagree, but also, you know, bring, you know, concerns, you know, and think about them, but also, you know, realize that as folks who are not, you know, transgender, you know, people ourselves, you know, we have limited information.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's important to consider, you know, all of that, you know.
Absolutely. You know, I talk a lot about a lot of different things, and I pride myself in talking about things that I know about, because not because I've read it or whatever, but because I've lived it and it's been part of my life at some point. Being transgender has not been part of my life. However, being depressed has, military has. My family was military. My children's father was military. Their grandparents were military, you know, so I understand how, you know, the whole depression and suicide thing works when it comes to somebody being different. And I use that word very loosely. I don't really like to use the word different, but somebody who's like, I'm going to say different than somebody else. That's very wide and a very broad spectrum there. It's, you know, so I don't want anybody to take offense at the word different. I like to call myself different because I am, you know, I'm unique. That's a better word. There you go. But I do want to talk more about depression and suicide. And before I do that, I want to say that I'm asking everybody out there during the week here, we're going to have some extremely high temperatures. It's very hot outside. And, you know, if you know somebody who's maybe elderly or has lots of pets or, you know, has a lot of kids or whatever, maybe, you know, they're not somebody who has a pool in their backyard or something, you know, just do a favor and check on them. Make sure that they got enough water or, you know, if there's anything that they need. It's very hot outside, especially the elderly and the young. So I ask that you, you know, just say hi and ask if they're okay, if, you know, they need something to drink, some water or something like that, because it's extremely hot outside and, you know, the heat can cause a lot of different health issues. So I want everybody to be, you know, up on their toes when it comes to, you know, people in their community. Everybody deserves to have somebody look after them. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I want to talk a little bit more about what we talked about last month, depression and suicide. And I had given out some tips on, you know, what to do, maybe some signs to look for in depression. And I want to kind of throw a couple of them out there again. One of the things that you can look for is, especially if your kids are in school, like a sudden drop in their grades, a dramatic change in their attitude or the way they behave with you at home. If they're normally, you know, quiet, if they're all of a sudden, you know, not so quiet and you see a significant change in their behavior, don't be afraid to sit down and say, hey, are you okay? Did something go on? Is there something you want to talk about? And make sure you do that. So, you know, a dramatic change in that, in their lifestyle is a significant warning that something's going on. Also, fear. If you're a person that can read people, then you'll understand what I'm saying. If you're not, then, you know, maybe you should just ask directly when it's discreet enough. But I know people who are in bad situations tend to fear the situation that they're in. I say this because I've been there. And sometimes it's not easy for somebody to say something in a situation like that. So, you know, if they take long time to answer your questions about whatever, maybe you see a woman with a black eye and you ask her what happened and they kind of that's a sign coming from somebody who's been there. That's a sign. So, you know, pick up on those and think about that. A lot of times people who are suicidal, they leave sudden signs that nobody really pays attention to, or they just blow it off as, you know, a joke, or they would never do anything like that or whatever, and before you know it, they do. But we as a society need to pick up on those signs, because people who tend to commit suicide, they're not going to tell you, oh, I'm going to commit suicide right now. I'm going to go upstairs and jump off the building. They're not going to do that. They're just going to do it. So in my opinion, it's our responsibility to see those signs, and not responsibility, but it's our responsibility to at least try, you know, to at least see if maybe you can tell something. You know, you can usually tell when somebody's in a bad mood or they're upset about something. So, you know, for me, I feel like maybe we should just stop and ask, you know, hey, are you okay? Do you need any help? You know, you don't have to have money to do that either. That's completely free. A smile is free. A hello is free. You don't have to pay for that. So, you know, sometimes that's the best thing you can do for a person who's depressed is just to show acknowledgement, you know, that they're there and they're actual human beings. I know that it's a severe problem, especially in our younger generation. Well, in my generation, I don't think that it was as much of a problem. At least I didn't hear about it, but nowadays I hear about it way more often. And I believe it's from lack of understanding, you know, and a lack of understanding on not only their part, but our part as the people who are in the community. And if we can just kind of teach ourselves, you know, that everybody deserves somebody, whether it be a stranger or not, everybody deserves somebody. And we've never walked a day in nobody's shoes, so we don't know how their life has been. You know, all you can do is ask and to be that shoulder that, or that rock for them or whatever it may be. You know, everybody needs somebody at some point in their life. So I just kind of want to throw that out there. You know, I'm a big advocate for trying to stop suicide and to keep our youth out of the depression, out of the negativity, out of the streets. That's been a goal of mine since I pulled myself out of it. And I see a real need for people to have more understanding for our younger generation. I see a lot of misunderstood young adults, my son being one of them. You know, sometimes I misunderstand him, but a lot of the time it's just general population. So, you know, I feel that in my house. You know, we need to take a time or take the time to step back and realize as who we are in our generation and whatever, we need to step back and realize that things change and life goes on and it's different, but it's, I mean, some of it's the same, but kids nowadays, they're different. They listen to different music. They dress the same but different. You know, they have the same words but the different words. They all mean the same thing, the same kind of dance. You know, it's just done in a different way, but you can still see us in that. And because of that, we should understand more of what we want from our kids and what we don't want to happen to them. And the only way that we can do that is to sit down with them and to be real and, you know, to let them know that you're there no matter what it is. So we're going to take another break here real quick. We're going to go ahead and go to Angie Stone, More Than a Woman. And I will be back in just a moment.
Like a diamond. shirt with no cheese. Yeah. What makes me a man, being a man could see more than a woman.
I wanna be more.
Can we take that back? There will be no cure. I'd sail there forever like a ship with no shore. What makes me a man,
being a man could see
more than a woman to me. Look it up.
Living luxury.
Maybe we could have them. That's one of my favorite songs. I like that song. That was Angie Stone.
Really? I can't believe I picked it. I didn't really like it.
That's funny. You know,
you and I were like singing it like by heart. I'm like, okay.
I'm in the studio just da da da. So we're coming here, and every time we come to the show, Delphine asks me, "So do you have songs that you want to play?" And I'm forever telling her, "No." No, I don't, because I'm always thinking about what I'm going to talk about, and I never remember to think about the music. So she saved me tonight, and I told her, you know what, you pick the music. So yeah, that was Angie Stone, More Than a Woman. That was one of my favorite songs.
Yes, of course, with Calvin Richardson, of course.
I love that song. Mm-hmm. That's a great song. So we were talking about, I was talking about depression and suicide and things like that. Kind of a low subject, but you know, it's important to me that it gets out there. So again, I want to throw the number out there. Call here at 503-231-8187. The next fourth caller from now, because we've already had one, will win a dinner for two by me. I can come to you, you can come to me, we can meet at a park. So dinner on me. Let me know whatever it is that you might want to talk about, and we'll talk about it. If there's anything that I'm talking about today, then you let me know how you feel about it, and we'll talk about that. And that's great. So, I want to say that, I appreciate all of the people who do call in and, you know, give me their opinions, because sometimes, you know, you're only hearing my side. So I like to hear what other people have to say about what I talk about, because it does open my eyes sometimes and you know, make me have a different view about things. But and I also appreciate when people, you know, don't call and they're rude. You know, if you're a rude person or you're somebody who wants to yell at me or whatever, I appreciate that you don't call. So thank you for that. I appreciate that a lot. Marshalia, any of you out there who have listened to us for a while now, Marshalia is my daughter, and she used to be with me on the radio, but she got a job, and so she works now. I wanted to let everybody know where we're at now, because I'm open with my audience about, you know, what I go through and things going on in my life. And before I say this, I want to throw out that Marshalia also offered to host a dinner for the fifth caller on any one of my shows. So I had forgot to tell Delphine that, but so she'll also be there more than likely.
She makes great cakes.
Yes, she does. Her chocolate banana
that
cake
is, yeah, that is really is
so
her
good
thing.
Yes, I love it a lot. It's really good. Yeah, so I just wanted to let everybody know that Marshalia will be there too, because I know that she misses y'all, and I've spoke to a few of you guys, and you guys haven't heard her voice lately, so I'm going to try to get her out here on the radio and see if we can get her back on here or whatever, whatnot, for a little while. But she'll be there at a dinner. Yes. And I want to throw out there, hello, Brenda. Thank you for listening to the show. And I love your grandson. He's the best. Nick, I know you can hear me right now, so I just wanted to say, hey, how are you? But anyway, hi, Brenda, and I love you. Thank you very much for listening to the shows and supporting us in this. That's great. So, yeah. So, you know, we have a few minutes left, and if there's a caller out there that wants to call in for a topic, that's great. And I want to say that this dinner that I'm offering is not only, you know, something that you're winning, but you're also helping me. because one of my mental illnesses is what I want to say, what I want to call it. One of the things that I have an issue with is coming out of my home and being in society, just walking down the street or going to a store. I don't leave my house very often unless I'm in a car and I have people that I trust around me. And it's very hard for me to, you know, go anywhere that I'm unfamiliar. But I believe that I need to start trying to do that a little more. So this dinner will also help get me out of my house and, you know, help me overcome the fact that not everybody out there is out to get you, you know, and to practice what I preach. So, you know, I tell other people to get out there and say hi to somebody. And so that's why I'm offering these dinners. So I just wanted to put that out there. So yeah, you know, go ahead and let me know and I'll make you dinner. And I'm a very good cook too. So, yeah. And I'm willing to, you know, extra any type of dietary issue or whatever, as long as you let me know, that'll work too. So, when I don't know anything about France or the president thing going on in France, but I remember Trump and him were standing side by side and they were having a talk or whatever. They were talking to people.
Yeah, it was like the G8. Oh, maybe it was for the 14th of July when Trump visited France.
Yes, when Trump visited France.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I'm not a political person, but whatever, do you know what came out of that? Is France like, are they going to be our allies? Because I know that Trump had pulled out of something.
Yeah, he pulled out of the Paris Agreement, which is like an agreement that all the countries in the world came to last year around climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So the agreements just happened to take place in Paris. That's what they call the Paris Accord. But pretty much they say, you know, that... you know, all of us will, you know, lead, especially leading countries as far as industrial countries. We need to really slow down what we create as far as pollution. Otherwise, you know, we're getting to the tipping point and just we're never going to be able to do anything. So that's what he pulled out of. But he also, you know, as part of all of that, was at the G8 in Europe. And so as part of all this, he went and visited France, like on our national day, which is Bastille Day on July 14th. And so the feedback that I have received from my fellow French citizens is the amount of money that was spent for that. So just in regular in France, like the 14th of July is when we spend a lot of money on fireworks. And, you know, kind of like in the U.S., you have like the military kind of like layout, you know, on the Champs-Élysées, which is like the main avenue in France. And so there's like, you know, all the security because all those politicians and presidents are there, you know, and all that jazz. So apparently we actually didn't have any more money in this year's budget. So we use actually money, borrowed money from the 2018 budget in order to be able to pay for that at this point. So that is, you know, like a really big issue that French citizens, you know, currently have, you know, I mean, the United States, American citizens are not as focused on like the deficit of the United States, but we pretty much have no money. We're running on like made up money, you know, that we're borrowing. France is not like that bad. And so French citizens are, you know, very concerned about, you know, about the finances and where things go, you know, especially whenever it comes to a change just happened with a new president. And, you know, when that happens, there's always concerns around the rights of workers and, you know, retirement and all of those things. These are very important topics for French people. And so when people see that a lot of money is being spent in fireworks, they usually get pretty upset. You know, so that's one of the things that came out of it, which is pretty much you know, a lot of wasted spended money, and also just like a lot of posturing, you know, because I think like the president of France is like pretty young, so I think he is somewhat insecure, and also sexism, because Trump just made some really outrageous comments about the first lady, the French first lady, sexist and ageist comments he made about her, you know. So it's just as a joke, you know, you started the show by just saying, you know, it's a game, like he's playing a game. So that's kind of how it is. And a lot of French folks, and including myself, I would say, feel very disappointed that our officials, you know, and president would actually, you know, enter that game and also play the... you know, the card of the, you know, let's be seen and let's, you know, because then he did like the French president, he like did that fake handshake wherever he like held his hand really hard like the day prior or some stuff like that. And it's like, why do you do that if you then going to talk to the man? Like, either like ignore him if you think he is beneath you, or I mean, anyways, I could be ranting on forever. Mary, you asked the question.
Right on. yeah, I had just I seen it, and I remember that, you know, Trump pulled out of that climate thing, and that kind of bothered me too. You know, I fought for our climate, and our kids to have clean air. So, you know, it kind of threw me for a loop there for a second. I was like, well, why, you know, why are you guys up there doing the, you know, buddy-buddy thing if you're really not buddy-buddy? Because that's how I took it. I feel like Trump's trying to, you know, be friends, but I almost feel like he has a hidden agenda.
Yeah, and I feel like everybody is like, you know, going along with it, because I think like there is, and there's always been fakeness, you know, and corruption, and, you know, this pretend, but he's really taken it to the next level. And I think like now people are just kind of stuck, and they just don't know how to, like, you know, make a public statement without, you know, humiliating themselves, you know. But I think like it can be done, you know, if you, I mean, in my opinion, you know.
Well, you can put me in front of the mic. I don't have a problem with saying what I thought.
Okay. No, I know you don't.
We can do that. But yeah, so I just wanted to know, because it kind of threw me for a loop, like I said, when I seen them up there talking to each other and shaking hands and being friendly. It seemed a little weird to me. So I thought I'd ask, because I don't really know anything about it. But thank you for... talking to me about that.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna meet
anytime.
So we have a few minutes left, and I just want to throw a couple, you know, little things out there, kind of refresh everybody's mind. Please pay attention to your younger folks. Make sure that you're understanding them, and what you don't understand, try and clarify, you know. It's not easy. You don't have to be your kid's friend, but, you know, you kind of do in a sense. Before you're their friend, you're always their parent. So make sure you remember that. But in the same sense, remember that, you know, you'll have a better relationship with your children if you can understand what it is that they're going through also, because we've all been there. So if we can keep in mind the understanding and how we felt when we went through those situations, then, you know, the understanding between you and your kids will be just that much better. So, you know, stay true to your younger generation. Make sure that your elderly and your animals are taken care of in this heat. It's important. We need our elderly. They are the people who give us our wisdom. They're the ones that pass down through the generations the stories of our lives, and, you know, recipes and pictures and all that good stuff that come along with the, you know, grandparents and great grandparents and so on and so forth. So, you know, make sure that we're taking care of our elderly in this heat, and make sure they have lots of water. Make sure that if you have pets, that you don't leave them in your car. Children, don't leave them in the car, even if you're just running into the store. Leave them at home. Make sure they have lots of water. And before we leave, I want to put out there that I don't know how anybody else feels, but, you know, during the summertime, do you know that the pool by my house is only open once a week for free swim for my kids? That's ridiculous to me. It's 105, 170 degrees out here. How come our kids can't play in a public pool? You know, or they have to pay for it. I understand that there's lights. I understand it costs money to run things. But come on now, we're talking about our kids' health here. So, you know. Anyway, yeah, so I don't know if you think the same thing. But, you know, Dell, you don't have children, but you're really close to my kids, so.
I do feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I would love for us to talk next time about ways that we could change that.
Absolutely. I think that that would be great. I'm going to look into that part, too, and see what it is that we can do to fix that. So I'm going to go ahead and sign out. And I appreciate you listening. This is KBOO 90.7. You're listening to Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary Postwaite. Up next is Keeping It Real with Nick DZ. Oh, and Arone. Hey, okay. So we will see or talk to you next month. And you guys stay cool, do what you can, and love yourselves. Bye.
You couldn't judge me if you wanted, lead the judging to him. I know I'm going on the whim to get the ignorant to listen. God gave me your word, now it's time to do my mission. I don't get it, is my pigment such a bad thing? Are we in our last days or a bad dream? This world is contribution so confusing and it's complex. We living just to die, so I'm wondering, am I next? Yeah.
Sing it to him, baby.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, your favorite community radio station. And next is Keeping It Real. It is 7 p.m. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and so a treat. Keeping It Real is next, and it's Nick DZ and Arone tonight with some guests. So be prepared. Again, this is KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Business of Diversity on August 7th at 11 a.m.